Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This year, that will end, the fiscal year that will end at the end of this month, the United States is on track to take in about 1,500 Syrian refugees. He would like them to accept, at least make preparations to accept at least 10,000 Syrian refugees in the next fiscal year.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. That is the voice of the Goebbels of our time, the nice young man named Josh Ernst, the spokesmouth for the Fuhrer, Obama, who has said, let's take in 10,000 Syrian refugees. We don't need to vet them. We don't know how many Al-Qaeda members or ISIS members are there, nor do we care. Just flood America with Syrian refugees because the EU has said that's what you should do. That's topic number one. Question for you, the audience. Should America take in 10,000 Syrian refugees out of humanitarian concerns? Certainly we need more refugees in America. We don't have enough from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, China. We need more, don't we? Because America is not diverse enough. And if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And the egg that's being broken right now is the egg white. Yes, that's what I just said, because we understand very well what this administration intends to do, is doing, and wants to do, and how it's achieving its goals is quite evident to all of us who study these things. The second topic is the nuclear chess game, and it's a bigger topic. Obama's trying to destroy us in every way he can, flooding us with refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call these poor people. And now the nuclear chess game is on, with the president playing for the other team, going against the majority in Congress, going against the majority of the American people, going against common sense, going against national security interests. Forget Israel for a minute. Please forget Israel for a minute. Just put down the Israeli flag and pick up the American flag. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that you should give nuclear weapons to a country whose psychotic medieval throwbacks are screaming death to the great Satan at the same time that this president of ours is cavorting with them, giving them the path to nuclear weapons, the path to intercontinental ballistic missiles? How does that benefit us? How? So the Revolutionary Republic, the Revolutionary Islamic Republic of Iran, is now telling us, they just raised the stakes again, by the way. He may have overridden the drunk Boehner. He may have overridden the will of the people, because this is how dictatorships work. I've studied history. I've studied nations. I've studied ancient China. Even the ancient Chinese lords said that the mark, if you read the Buddhist tractates, the mark of a good leader is a leader who listens to the will of the people and the people are happy. The mark of a bad leader is a leader who dismisses the people's concerns and makes the people miserable. Obama is the worst leader imaginable. A sneak, a traitor, a cavorter with the enemies of America. So now they've raised the stakes. Khamenei made three deadly remarks just the other day. One, he said sanctions against Tehran must be lifted completely rather than suspended. Did you hear what I just said? Listen to what I just said. He got everything he wanted, and in the Iranian way, they're now raising the stakes. And in the capitulating, spineless, anti-American, backstabbing way of your president, he's capitulating to them at every turn. Sanctions against Tehran must be lifted completely rather than suspended, he said yesterday. I have a question for you. If the framework of sanctions is to be maintained, then why did we negotiate at all? White House spokesmouth, the Goebbels of our time, Josh Ernst, a nice young man, answered him. Goebbels said, Iran will only see sanctions relief if it complies with the nuclear deal. Well, what is the nuclear deal? Well, that's a big question. It's clear to anyone who studies this that Iran must first comply with the accord before sanctions are eased. And Tehran's saying, no, we want sanctions lifted first. I know some of this is hard for you to follow. This is the most important debate of your life. It's ongoing right now, live. The drunks are back from their vacation. They got the gobbler McConnell off the chicken farm. They got Boehner off his chaise lounge in Jacksonville. They dried him up. They gave him some man tan. They pushed him out there to mumble. Would you like to hear more about what's going on in Iran? Would you like to hear more about what your leader is doing? Well, stay tuned because it's going to be developing as the show goes on. 10,000 Syrian refugees, he's demanding, the Fuhrer. He decided. The headline says, President Obama has decided that the United States should take in at least 10,000 Syrian refugees over the next year. White House spokesmouths said today. White House press secretary, the Goebbels of our time, Josh Ernst, said that the president and secretary of hate, John Kerry, are in alignment on the numbers. So this is where we're at. As millions of refugees flee the violence in Syria caused primarily by Hillary Clinton's insane Arab Spring policy, and is surging into Europe, overwhelming Europe, invading Europe, a Muslim invasion that Europe has not seen since the Crusades. This time, though, it's under the guise of a humanitarian crisis. It's a Muslim jihad under the guise of a humanitarian crisis. Because after all, the refugees could go to Saudi Arabia, they could go to Jordan, they can go to Kuwait, they can go to the UAE where they speak their language, couldn't they? Why are they sending them to France, Holland, Spain, England, Germany? Why? Because this is the final solution to Europe. You have no idea what the EU is doing to it, to these countries. You have no idea what your president, who is really a member of the EU, politically a member of the EU, is trying to do to this country. Trying to annihilate the history, the culture, the borders, language, culture, the nations that we are living in. So here we are. No one's saying that all of them are terrorists. No one is saying that they're not entitled to some kind of relief. However, I would put national security before I would put the security of the Syrian refugees first. How do you know who they are? Can anyone listening to this show tell me how you know who all these Syrians will be? When when ISIS itself has said proudly that they've snuck 4,000 into Europe under the guise of being refugees? Huh? You know who they all are? You're positive that they're all refugees? Some of them are not soldiers of ISIS? What about the next step in the nuclear chess game? How does American democracy fare against that of the Revolutionary Republic? And that's a joke, the word Revolutionary Republic of Iran. There is no Revolutionary Republic of Iran. It's a hateful theocracy ruled by throwbacks who live in another universe. Meanwhile, Obama has brought his boot on Congress. Obama has squeezed the necks of Congress with his boot. Iran has won every round of this so-called negotiation. The Ayatollah is a dictator. He exercises total control over the Majis through his minion speaker, Ali Larijani. He has absolute power. Obama is no different. Obama is our Ayatollah. He is no different than the Iranians in that regard. He uses every type of chicanery and trickery known to the process of our government to override the will of the people and the will of Congress. We have no representation at all. Remember what this is supposed to be, a representative government. Your representative said no to this deal. But through chicanery and trickery, Obama has become equivalent to the Ayatollahs of Iran. He has absolute trust in the Iranians and no trust in the American people. So here we are. So what will the American lawmakers do today? Nothing. They're full of sound and fury signifying nothing. Full of sound and fury signifying nothing. And we will have a nuclear-armed Iran, and then the fun will begin. They're not like any other nation, by the way. They're not like Israel. They're not like France, Germany, America. Even Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Pakistan is a Muslim nation with nuclear weapons. And yet Pakistan has never threatened genocide. Pakistan has never said we will annihilate another nation, kill all the people because we hate them, because we are genocidal maniacs. No, Pakistan is a Muslim nation. So Iran is not even a Muslim nation. Iran is a psychotic nation that uses Islam to push a mentality upon the world that the world should have learned by now cannot be tolerated at any cost. In the past, we would have stood up to such maniacs. We wouldn't have let Hitler's arise again. We said never again. Well, here it is happening again, right in front of our eyes. And strangely enough, Dianne Feinstein, allegedly of Jewish heritage, along with several other individuals in Congress of Jewish heritage, of all people, should know better, but they don't. Why? Because the dictator obviously sweetened the deal for them in ways we will never know. Historians will never even learn what this dictator has done to sway them to go along like the Judenrats that they are. That's a loaded word that I use for those of us who know history. Judenrat. But let's put the Jewish question aside. How about the American question? How in the world can anyone listening to this show say to me that it's a good thing to let genocidal maniacs have a nuclear weapon? Forget Muslim. It has nothing to do with Muslim or Islam. Pakistan is a Muslim nation. It has never threatened genocide. Iran has threatened genocide, not only against Israel, but they said Israel first, then Europe, then America. They said it as recently as yesterday. Why is the president dancing with the devil? These are the two questions. Syrian refugees, the Iran nuclear chess game. The lines are open at 855-400-7282. We will be monitoring the Senate all afternoon today on the Savage Nation as the Stooges debate the dictator on this all-important issue. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. The absolute leader, Obama, who has spit on the people's will, spit on Congress's will, and has used legal chicanery to get around the will of the people and the will of Congress, wants to give Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon, even though he says no, wants to give them $150 billion to spend on funding terrorism, and now, to add insult to injury, kicks us in the teeth while we're down and says the Fuhrer wants 10,000 Syrian refugees at least, 10,000. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it, in a nation of 300 million, does it? Where will these 10,000 Muslim refugees go? Because, by the way, we're not talking about Syrian Christians. We're talking about Syrian Muslims who, the minute they arrive in Europe, they pray to Allah. They get on the ground and pray to Allah and thank Allah for delivering them with safety. That would all be wonderful if the integration could be counted upon. How has that worked out so far for France, Germany, and England? There are districts that the police cannot even go in. People are being beaten in the streets by Muslim gangs. But it doesn't make it to the Associated Press and Reuters. Reuters doesn't want you to see the world as it is. Now, I'm about to take your calls on this, these two important issues, including the Iran nuclear chess game, which Obama is playing for the other side, in my estimation. And I'm going to make an announcement that although Government Zero will not be out until late October, and I do not have copies yet, the demand for it is so great from the bookstores that the publisher has escalated the first printing to 150,000. And I'm going to start giving away free copies today. You won't get them for a few weeks, but you're going to get them if you get on the show and you make a good point. You're going to get a copy of Government Zero, which will be my last nonfiction political book. After that, I will do a book about Teddy. I'm through. This is it. It's the last political book. Jandon, KSFO, go ahead. What's your point?
Thank you, Mr. Savage. Hey, one of the questions I'm grappling with this refugee crisis is, do we have a moral obligation, being that it's failed U.S. policy in the Middle East that caused this crisis, to at least sift through some of these people and bring them in?
Let's start with, you made a big statement there, and I'm sure you're not alone in your thinking. I'm sure those in San Francisco who ride bicycles and beat up women with chains during mass bike rides, those who let bums crap on the floor, would agree with you. That's the kind of rhetoric you would hear from people who are stoned all of the time. What do you mean it's our failed policies that caused Syria's humanitarian crisis? You mean it's Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I mean.
So because Hillary Clinton caused this, we should now suffer?
well, I don't believe we should all suffer, but they are our elected officials, and we are American. And
Okay, let's start with the obvious. Where would these 10,000 Muslim refugees go?
Mr. Savage, I have no idea.
And why would you want to bring Muslims, some of whom may be members of ISIS, because ISIS is boasting that they've put many of them in as Trojan horse terrorists into Europe, 4,000 of them. So how many of the 10,000 would be terrorists? Do we know?
That's a really good question, one that's, you know.
Oh, so let me ask you, when your great-grandfather, whoever, came to this country, how long ago was that? How many generations ago?
I believe five.
From where, Chandon?
Ireland.
And how were they treated when they got here? Were they treated with welfare, food stamps, psychiatry, free phones?
Free phones, Social Security, welfare system. It was a whole shebang, Mike. They were pretty well taken care of. And that's a joke.
Yeah. The Irish were treated worse than dogs when they came here.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
And there were signs that said Irish and dogs are not permitted. There was no welfare state for your ancestors.
Correct.
How do we afford to pay for 10,000 more when we are already breaking from the burden of the illegal aliens from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico? How? Who pays for this?
Well, it's not a question, and it's very valid to ask the cost, but it's more historically we have done that. During the Vietnam War, we brought in the Hmong, which were fighting the North Vietnamese, and then you know, wherever we go in and we disrupt an area, we've usually held that.
These people were not fighting anyone.
Correct, but they were not
our allies in the war against ISIS, who were saving from slaughter by the communists in Vietnam. The analogy doesn't work. The primary issue here is A, borders, language, culture. Either a nation has an identity or it doesn't. This further dilutes our identity. Why would we want to do that when we're already swamped with so many refugees, immigrants, whatever, in this country who don't respect our flag, our language, our country, our history? Why would you want more of them? There's your moral obligation. How about a moral obligation to your nation? Why don't you put that ahead of your school teaching?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This year, that will end, the fiscal year that will end at the end of this month, the United States is on track to take in about 1,500 Syrian refugees.
Mr. Happy.
He would like them
Mr.
to accept, at least make preparations to accept at least 10,000 Syrian refugees in the next fiscal year.
That's the Goebbels of our time with his Mr. Cheerful voice. The Fuhrer has decided that we need at least 10,000 Syrian refugees without vetting. And Mr. Happy, Freddy the Clown, puts out the happy voice, thinking the American people are morons. Topic one. Topic two is the nuclear chess game, with our president playing for the other team. Let's hear what you have to say to the American people on the Savage Nation. Larry on WJR out of Detroit, what's your opinion? Go ahead, please.
I hope we could agree that 10,000 people is a small bump as far as people coming into our country.
Wait, 10,000 is a small number? Where would they go?
I would hope they would come to Detroit, Michigan.
You do. And why would you want 10,000 more there?
Because we have a large, in fact, probably the largest Arabic population outside the Middle East is in the greater Detroit, Michigan area.
Oh, I know all about that, but why would you want more?
Because they're hardworking people. They stand out.
That sounds very good, but this is not PBS. On the Savage Nation, we actually dig for the truth. But you seem to think you're an expert on this. Can you tell me, please, what percent of immigrants receive welfare?
Pardon?
You heard me.
They do not look for welfare. They look for a job.
I asked you, you're an expert on immigration. What percent of immigrants receive welfare in the United States?
Quite a few. I do not know exactly, but it's not the Arabic people.
Wait, hold on, please don't make up stories just to sound smart. 49% of households headed by a legal immigrant participated in at least one welfare program in 2012, compared to 30% of native-headed households, and 62% of illegal immigrant households receive some form of welfare program.
You have the facts. I cannot deny your facts.
And by the way, immigrants admitted to the U.S. as refugees, Larry, are immediately eligible for welfare. Now, why would we, a nation that's broke, suddenly think we have the money for 10,000 Syrian refugees who will be immediately eligible for welfare? Where will the money come from?
You're assuming that they would come here immediately asking for handouts, and I can tell you that they do not want handouts.
But they're arriving with nothing. How could they not want a handout if they're arriving with a shirt on their back?
Because so many of them have family here already that would help them to assimilate into...
Assimilate? What jobs are waiting for them in Detroit? I thought Detroit was bankrupt. Where would they work?
Detroit is on the way up from the ashes. We are the phoenix. Detroit is the phoenix.
Really? And so there are jobs waiting for Arabic-speaking Syrians in Detroit? In what department?
On the line. They can be... I know for a fact, because I know many Arabic people who came to this country and who learned English quite well on the line, and in 5-6 years...
Larry, on what line? What line are you talking about?
The assembly line, sir.
I'm sorry, which line?
The assembly line of Fords and Chrysler.
So in other words, you would rather give the jobs on the assembly line, if there are any, by the way, after Ford moves their factories to Mexico... The few jobs that are left, you'd rather give to Syrian refugees than, let's say, poor whites or poor blacks?
No, sir. I would like to give those jobs to anybody who's willing to work. There are a lot of people, I'm sorry to say, who would rather sit there with their hand out and not want to work rather than look for work.
Mm-hmm. So you're making a broad assumption that Americans living in Detroit don't want these auto jobs.
I'm sorry, but I am. I am making a broad assumption. There are a lot of people who, growing up in Detroit, I've seen people who would rather take that free phone, take that EBT card, take, and assume that because Obama became president...
Oh, so in other words, we need more immigrants to make our country healthier. Is that the answer?
Sometimes... Maybe a fresh attitude on those immigrants is, you know, I've met people from Ghana and other African nations who I asked them about their welfare programs in their countries, and they laughed at me. They laughed because they said there is no such thing as welfare.
No kidding. This is the only moronic nation on earth that sacrifices its own citizens to the greater good of the world.
Well, not to get preachy here, but amen, okay? Amen, brother. But,
What does amen, brother, mean? I don't understand what that means. What does amen, brother, mean?
Amen means, and brother means, hey, we're on the same page, okay? That's all.
Uh-huh. And last night I had a meal. I got to talk about immigration for a minute in case people misinterpret what I'm saying. First of all, I'll repeat it again. I am the son of an immigrant. So I'm very sensitive to this. I'm actually a first-generation American. I'm super sensitive to this issue of immigration. Very important that people don't confuse me with someone who is opposed to all immigrants. That's number one. But number two, I have to tell you something else. I also am a human being who lives in the real world. So last night, late at night, I went to a sort of inexpensive Italian restaurant, a chain that's open late. I had a bowl of spaghetti with vegetables in it. And it was very interesting. When I left the meal, I went outside around the back. It was dark. They were closing, sort of. I heard loud Mexican music, and I peered in through the kitchen. I saw these hardworking Mexican, Guatemalan, El Salvadoran men, and I thought about them. I saw the sadness on their faces. And I realized that they were so far away from home that their hearts were heavy with want. They wanted to be at home. They would rather be at home. And they wanted to be with their wives and children. But they were here working, cleaning pots, cleaning dishes. And they're playing their own music in order to have some sense of community and home. I understood all of that. And I said to myself, these people are the bedrock of the future of America. I look around. I'm not blind to what goes on. I know who's doing the hard work. I hope you heard me on that.
Yes, sir. I'm sick.
But now let me finish the little essay. They also happen to be Christians, devout Christians. Why would this nation want to make itself more Muslim?
Why are you assuming Well, let me give you a background on myself. Okay, I am second generation. My Situ and Jiddu, which is Arabic term for grandmother and grandfather, are from Syria. They're Christians, okay?
Yeah, I am aware of that. There's a huge Syrian Christian population. What percent of these 10,000 are Muslim? What percent are Christian?
I don't know.
You don't know, but I do know, Larry. I do know. I do know. And you're not going to be happy with the answer, Larry.
I'm happy. Go ahead.
Larry, all you got to do is research it yourself. You'll find the answer, Larry. Your president has made it clear which proportion of these refugees should be Muslim and which proportion should be Christian. And you can put a zero through the Christian column.
Well, you made it.
Have a nice day. They don't even know who Obama is. They have no idea. They have bought this guy's act hook, line, and sinker. It's shocking to me. It's stunning. Just shocking and stunning. How many of these 10,000 Syrian refugees are ISIS members being sent here as Trojan horses? WBAP, Carol, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just wanted to point out the hypocrisy in the Obama administration and also in the media. We held a rally for the persecuted Christians of Iraq running from ISIS last year. We got one cameraman from our local Dallas affiliate. It's not even a reporter. And no one from the Obama administration showed any concern when we called for them to allow Christians from Iraq to be able to come to the United States.
Right. He only wants Muslims from Iraq. He wants mainly or all Muslims from Syria. Why is that, do you think, Carol?
I believe that he's very sensitive to the Muslim religion. That's my personal belief, but I've been very hostile.
I don't think you have to be. I don't think you have to be Einstein to recognize that a man who's both fathers, both his natural father and his let us say adopted father, were Muslims, and he himself studied in a Muslim school as a youth. That unto itself is not a condemnation. As I've said before, Jordan is a Muslim nation. They're against ISIS, so. That's not the issue. This man seems to be playing for the other team, though. That's what worries me, Carol.
It is a worry. And here's the other thing. Why isn't the media asking where is the compassion that is so bragged upon by the Muslim countries to take in these refugees? My heart does break when I see what is going on and I see...
Where is the EU, the perverts in the EU, talking about all the Christians who've been slaughtered by Muslims in the Middle East and all of the Christian churches that have been burned to the ground... And the Christian communities that are being decimated, where is any discussion of that from the EU and from Barack Obama? How come we haven't heard that?
Good question. And we very rarely hear it from the American media. And it's a concern. And it just shows...
Oh, the American media. What American media is that? Pravda or Izvestia? All the little girls and boys with their nice suits and ties, like Josh Ernst with the happy talk... Mr. Happy Face, hi there. The president has decided to take in 10,000 refugees at least.
Yeah.
A little happy face does an awful lot in America, I suppose. It's sort of the clown outside McDonald's, waving you in to eat some toxic cheeseburger. No, we're living in very dangerous times when the people don't want to know the truth and could care less. But the facts speak for themselves. Legal immigrant households account for 75% of immigrant welfare use. According to a new report from the Center for Immigration Studies, 49% of households headed by a legal immigrant participated in at least one welfare program in 2012. Compare that to only 30% of native-headed households. Did you hear this? Now here comes the punchline. Immigrants admitted to the U.S. as refugees, that would be all the Syrians, are immediately eligible for welfare. And less educated immigrants are most likely to use every kind of welfare program. Would you like to know what they use? Legal, illegal, native? Would you like to hear that? What they get? Cash programs. The minute they get here, they're given cash. Did you know that? Food programs. The minute they get here, they're given food stamps. Free medical care, Medicaid. Do you know what that's going to cost you? Do you know what this is going to do to the cost of socialized Obamacare? Have you thought about this? See, there's always a knee-jerk reaction is that we have a humanitarian crisis, we caused it, therefore we're responsible for them. Well, that's part of the answer, but Hillary Clinton is responsible for it in large part. By the way, how have some of the other waves of recent Muslim refugees done in America? Focus especially on the Somalis. Have they assimilated? What percentage of them use welfare? Do they work in assembly lines? I'll be right back. Think about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
For years, Iran's rapidly accelerating enrichment capability and burgeoning nuclear stockpile has represented one of the greatest threats to peace and security anywhere in the world. We all stipulate to that. That's why we need an agreement. And that's why I'm so pleased that we have so many statements of validation from people out. The agreement is one of the great, the experts say, this agreement is one of the greatest diplomatic achievements of the 21st century.
It would be funny if it was funny. Here is a woman who was a lunatic, who has made a laughingstock of the word congresswoman for so many years. Now she gets up there and mumbles her way through one of the greatest diplomatic achievements. I mean by ignoring the will of the people, ignoring the will of both houses of Congress, ignoring common sense, ignoring the will of national security interests. This lunatic is for it. There's only one reason for this. Follow the money. She smells the $150 billion. Remember that? Never, ever forget why these people vote for anything. They'd sell their grandchildren out for $2. If there's $2 more in the kitty, they'll go for it. $2, they'd sell a country out if they can squeeze out a contract somehow. You think I'm making this up? I don't know. I'm inventing it. I'm a very suspicious person of Democrats, socialists who have done so much damage to this nation. And I suspect that if anyone really wanted to do due diligence, they could find money flowing on this Iran deal right into, well, who knows where. I don't mean Mrs. Pelosi, of course. She's as clean as the driven snow. No, no, I mean others in Congress who might have side deals that we would never know about. It's never happened before, as you well know. It's not known in the American political system. Doesn't work that way, of course. No one gets anything from these deals. They do it purely out of altruistic motivation. And so we're hearing callers like that gentleman from Detroit, who's a very intelligent man, a Syrian of Christian descent, telling us we should take in 10,000 Syrian refugees because they're going to go to work on the production lines. And I asked, well, what about the people in Detroit who don't have jobs? No answer. Sue, KSFO, what's your main point on immigrants and welfare?
In the Columbus Dispatch on May 21st, 2011, there's an article called Welfare to Work Faltering in Ohio. And it talks about how Clinton's Welfare to Work program was so far behind in Ohio and that they weren't putting any more welfare people to work. Well, down at the very bottom of the article, almost at the end, there's a little paragraph that says, and immigrants, most from Somalia, make up a fifth of the county's welfare rolls. So what that means is Somalians started immigrating to Columbus, Ohio, around the turn of the century, which would make this about 11 years in, and they have managed in 11 years to comprise...
Wait, turn of the century, and it's 15 years now.
The article was written in 2011.
Okay, so you're saying by the year 2011, they accounted for 20% of all welfare use, the Somalis. You think it's gone up or down?
Up, no doubt.
Would you agree that we should take in 10,000 or more Syrian refugees, most of whom are Muslims? Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay, you win a copy of Government Zero when it's available. You'll get one of the few copies of the first edition. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Many others want to deal with Iran because there's a lot of money in it. It frees up $150 billion in sanction money. Oh, I know it doesn't work, doesn't go to them. I understand that. It's for altruistic reasons that they want a terrorist state to have nuclear weapons. U.S. to take in at least 10,000 Syrian refugees, at least, according to Obama. He decided. President Obama has decided that the U.S. should take in at least 10,000 refugees from Syria over the next year. And he's passed this dictatorial directive onto his administration. And we learn that the Presidente and Secretary of State, John Kerry, are in alignment on the numbers. How do you feel about that? Should we take in 10,000? Why not 50,000? Why not 100,000? The EU wants us to take in 100,000. Figure 20,000 here, 20,000 there, 2,000 per state. Why don't you take some refugees into your own home, those of you who want them? Borders, language, culture, Michael Savage. Borders, language, culture, that's how you define a nation. Obama has erased our borders, turned our language into mush, a polyglot nation, where ballots are in 16 languages in some cities. Culture? You must be joking. What culture? Which one are you referring to? The culture he learned about in the madrasas in Indonesia? Which culture do you think he responds to most? Our culture or a foreign culture? So we have very serious issues right now. Refugees flooding Europe. Europe is going to disappear in your lifetime unless these refugees are stopped. The jihadists are being put on European soil. Now Obama wants to put... He says at least 10,000 Syrian refugees. How many of them will be jihadists sent into this nation as Trojan horses? There's no risk to our society. Of course we want to help genuine refugees, do we? How many can we take in? When does this madness end? How in the world can this flow of biblical proportions be stemmed? Why must the United States of America, which was once immune to invasion, now be invaded from within? Cato the Elder wrote about it. Many, many historians wrote about men like the type we have now running the country. Not limited, by the way, to the president. No, not at all. Limited to the president whatsoever. The enemy within was referred to by Cicero, rather not Cato the Elder. It was the introduction to one of my previous tomes. The enemy within. So how do you feel about that? 855-400-7282. Where should we put them? Where should they go? How should they be reviewed for possible terrorist ties? How can you review 10,000 people? How is that even possible? Who's going to do the review? College girls like college boys like Josh Ernst? Who's going to review them? Who's going to do the vetting? Who's gonna see if they're refugees or jihadists? Then there's the nuclear chess game with Iran, with our grand chess master Obama playing for the other side. Who's playing for this side? I don't know. Who's playing chess for our side? Which one is on our side of the board? Nancy Pelosi? She's one of the pawns of the chess game, but who's actually playing this chess game with Iran for us? It's not Donald Trump. Or there would have been no deal. How could you see this deal as valid for America when we've not even gotten back one of our hostages, including a former U.S. Marine? How in the world can you accept this without seeing it for what it is? It's so clear. Who negotiates a deal of this magnitude without saying, first return the refugees, then we'll have our hostages. Then we will have a negotiation, otherwise go to hell. Go to hell! No, how is it possible? Unless this was a sellout from the get-go. Have you no sense anymore? WABC, Robert, where do you stand on these issues? What's on your mind?
As far as it taking in the refugees, if we absolutely positively have to, which I really don't want to, I would say bring in only women and children, because at least the men, if they're really honest, they can go back to Syria and fight for their country, and they wouldn't have to worry about their family being raped and murdered.
Well, there's a problem with your analysis, which is who is going to support these women and children? They'll go on welfare for the rest of their lives. They're not going to work. Children don't work. Women have to stay home to take care of the children, so immediately we have burdens on society when we have a bankrupt society to begin with. Where's the money supposed to come from, Robert? We're all talking as though it's 1950 and it's Pax Americana and we have unlimited money. We are broke. We're a basket case.
Right, but if they're bringing the men in, we're probably bringing a lot of jihadists in with them, and we'd be supporting them too. So if we're going to support somebody, I'd rather support just the women and children and make sure that we don't have any...
Well, where is it written that we have to support anyone? Show me where it's written. Show where in the U.S. Constitution it says we must support poor, unfortunate people from around the world. Where is that written?
It's not. I prefer them not to come, but you know...
Well, no, let's leave it at that. I prefer them not to come. Let Muslim nations take them in. Muslim nations rolling in money like Saudi Arabia. Why aren't they taking the Syrians in?
I don't know. From your lips to
death. I do know. I studied it. The Saudis have said we're not taking in one Syrian because there are jihadists amongst them. We don't want them. How come they won't take them in? They all speak Arabic. They would be more accommodating in Saudi Arabia than America. Why would you bring them here? Not using common sense. There's a refugee crisis caused in part by Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. Terrible crisis. Which, by the way, is about to get worse. Russian reinforcements, as I reported yesterday on the Savage Nation, have landed in Syria against the will of the Fuhrer, I mean the President of the United States. He warned Putin, don't you dare. They sent the world's largest nuclear submarine in the world through the Dardanelles to arrive in Syrian waters. The size of a nuclear submarine that dwarfs our own. They've sent in Spetsnaz forces, tanks, artillery, to make sure that their stooge, Bashar Assad, is not overthrown. I love Fox News. The Obama administration's hopes to oust Syrian President Bashar Assad and make way for a democratic government in Damascus. Don't you love that? A democratic government in Damascus are being dashed again by evidence that Russia is joining the fight to keep him in power. A move that the State Department warns could further escalate the conflict. Well, it's not our conflict. What are we sticking our noses in it for? Why have we been funding Syrian opposition forces surreptitiously all this time? Huh? Why have we been doing this? What are we doing over there? Why are we meddling in the Syrian civil war? What's it our business? I'm sorry to tell you, I know what this is about. In my heart of hearts, I know who's wagging this dog. It's Israel. I'm a supporter of Israel, but it's Israel that has forced us to surreptitiously support the opposition to Assad, because Israel's paranoid about Assad. Israel wants Assad gone. Israel's not clear-thinking anymore. You like to think Israel's so clear-thinking. You think Israel's filled with geniuses. You say Israel, you think Mossad, you think chess masters. You could be 100% wrong. This is not the Israel of Moshe Dayan and Golda Meir. This is the Israel of Prozac and Macy's credit cards in New York City. This is a new Israel. They think about as clearly as the Obama administration. Why would they want to overthrow Assad and see a jihadist take over Syria? How could that be better for them? They're going to inherit his air force, his navy, his weaponry. Why would they want that? Assad at least is a faction that they can control. Why would they want to overthrow Assad in Israel? What sense does that make to them? No sense at all. They're not thinking clearly. Again, they have muddled thinking, as do our leaders. There are no men of any brains left in Israel that I know of. I don't see them. Where are they? Where are these great chess masters of Israel? Where are they? Where are the geniuses of Israel that they would want to foment a civil war in Syria and have the U.S. use ISIS as a proxy to bring down Assad? Why would they want that? Have you thought about that? This is suicidal. The whole West has become a gigantic regions filled with lemmings. Lemmings running over a cliff under their guise of humanitarianism and all the liberal shibboleths. Oh, we have to take in refugees. Oh, we're humanitarians. Oh, we owe it to the world. No, we don't. Not when we're bankrupt. The nation is bankrupt, in case you haven't checked lately. Obama has bankrupted America. He inherited a $1 trillion debt. It's now, what, $5 trillion? He printed money. Where's the money to come from to take care of all of these masses? Where? Now, many of you will say I'm being overly harsh, and we're supposed to take in our poor and our hungry and the huddled masses, and I'm a son of an immigrant. I, of all people, should know that. Let me give you the lesson again. You must have missed it this summer and last spring, because I gave it to you several times. Oh, give us your tired, your poor, and your hungry masses. That's right on our Statue of Liberty, isn't it? And when was that posted on the engraved on the Statue of Liberty? Well, when the Statue of Liberty was put up, around 1900, 1904, I don't know when. Was there a welfare state then? No. Were refugees given welfare? No. Food stamps? No. Check no, the no box. Were refugees permitted to vote the minute they got here? Check no on the no box. No. So we say, give us your tired, your poor, and hungry masses. One of the reasons we believed in that is because we needed factory labor. America's economy was booming. So once again, they used liberal platitudes to sway the public into accepting masses of refugees from Italy, Germany, Jewish refugees. They came in to work like dogs in factories, to break their backs building roads, building buildings, to work in the needle trades. They needed hundreds of thousands of them to work like slaves in the garment center. Give us your tired, your poor, and hungry masses. So they would work in the factories. We don't need factory workers right now. Obama gutted the factories. Clinton started by exporting the factories, and Obama more or less finished it off. So no, it's no longer give us your tired, your poor, and your hungry masses. Not with a welfare state. So I made my point. 855-407-282. Two topics. U.S. to take in at least 10,000 Syrian refugees, according to Obama. He hasn't gone to Congress yet, but they don't count to him. He doesn't really see it as an American issue. He's sort of the Ayatollah of America. Whatever he wants. And then the issue with the Iran deal. And by the way, it's no guarantee that it's going to go through. You know why? The Iranians may reject it. You see, this is the odd part. We're screaming and yelling here, sound and fury, meeting yesterday in Washington, Ted Cruz, Trump, whatever. Great. I'm glad they did it. That's a good thing. But the real game changer is what the Iranian so-called parliament is going to do. They may reject it entirely because we're insisting that they're insisting all sanctions come off before the deal starts. And we're saying the opposite. And so they may actually reject it before we do. Do you know that? Isn't that an odd coincidence? A paradox, rather. That a fascist dictatorship may reject the deal before our so-called democracy does. Think about it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This vote is the most serious that I've taken in a number of years. And the reason for that is that it'll be irrevocable. This vote has monumental and enduring consequences. Throughout my review of this deal, my questions have always been, how does it deal with the safety and security of the United States, and how does it deal with the safety, security, and viability of the state of Israel?
And what's the answer? That's Mikulski. Did she answer it, or she just asked the question? Obviously, she stands with Obama on this, because whatever he says goes. He pressed the iron boot on the neck. That's the whole story. By the way, your friends at the New York Times have launched a new website called Jew Tracker. The descendants of Jews, Sulzberger, has now produced the equivalent of a newspaper from Germany in the 1930s under Adolf Hitler. A new list in the New York Times, run by Sulzberger's insane grandson, lists lawmakers and whether they're Jewish and how many Jewish constituents they represent. This is something you would have seen in the 1930s in Germany. And this is what happens when you have a mentally disordered individual running a newspaper. I wonder if they would do this on another deal and ask about Muslim Tracker, asking whether lawmakers are Muslim and how many Muslim constituents they represent. I don't know if Sulzberger would consider that. The online chart published by these insane liberals tracks whether lawmakers who oppose the deal with Iran are Jewish. And the article is entitled Lawmakers Against the Iran Nuclear Deal. And then if you look at the chart put out by the Sulzberger family, Democrats against the deal. Jewish? Question mark. Charles Schumer? Sieg Heil? Yes. Benjamin Cardin? Check. Yes. Robert Menendez? Jewish? No. Joe Manchin? No. Schumer, New York State, 9.1% Jewish population. Above the 2.2% U.S. average. They haven't really worked out. They would have been very good statisticians in the Third Reich. I don't know how they get such data. It's really interesting how good they are at data analysis at the New York Times when they want to be. I'll tell you that. They know what percent of the population is Jewish everywhere. How do they know that? I don't know why they didn't complete this article by putting a six-pointed yellow badge next to every Jewish opponent of the sellout with Iran. They could have shown Schumer with a yellow star, Cardin with a yellow star, Menendez with a yellow star, Manchin with a yellow star. They could have given an honorary yellow star to Senator Cruz. They could have put a yellow star on all the Republicans. Then they would have completed their work. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Do you know that or not?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The time when this came, in 2001 and 2008, each time, not just once, but each time, you have the greatest collapse. Now, it could happen around that time, and I'm not dogmatic that it has to happen, you know, every time at that time. Nothing has to happen. However, if we go by this, the last seven cycles of this, there has been a collapse every time. And it's not just the economic realm or financial realm. This, you know, there's a thing in the book called the Rise and Fall of Nations. It also is linked to the times of global shakings, like, for instance, World War II. The cycle 9/11 comes at that peak last week of the Shemitah. And so it's not only that, it can also touch other realms. And again, as the Hebrew means shake.
Wait, so like this Iran sellout, the nuclear deal with Iran, would you say this fits in?
Totally. I mean, Obama gave the Congress, he said, you know, 2 months to pass this deal. Well, that comes right to this time, right in September. There are so many things that are converging at this time. So, yes, you have wars. I mean, there is what's called a super cycle of this, and that is that when this happens seven times, you have every single time you have war in the Middle East, you have a major war concerning Israel, and, you know, major events, and now that cycle is also converging as well. So, yeah, everything is really converging, and though we're not dogmatic, I would say be ready, because this thing has been so consistent, and it could be shakings in the financial realm, shakings in world history, shakings even in the natural realm. So,
well, before we take our break and come back to you, Jonathan, why is this coming, and who made these predictions? I don't follow that.
Okay. Well, this is the actual cycle that is ordained. This is, you find it for the first time in the Torah. You find this from Moses. Actually, Moses is the first one. This is where it's set. And so this got this pattern and this cycle. And even people on Wall Street, I mean, after I wrote the book, I got contacted. They said, yes, we've seen that 7 years cycle, but we didn't know anything about the Shemitah. But what they identified is actually at the time, not the 7 year cycle, but at the time of the biblical Shemitah.
Wait, so you're telling me everything is preordained?
Well, no, I'm not saying, well, what I'm saying is this. There are patterns, and there are cycles, and there is phenomenon. And it's not that it's the only one. Like, one of the things I noticed, Michael, is that one of the things that the Shemitah deals with is debt. And the strongest time, sometimes years the cycle is stronger, sometimes less, but at the times when the debt level in America has been the highest, that's the 1930s, and then from the 1970s till now, that is when this thing has been the absolute strongest. So there are a number of factors. One of them is this. So it's not that everything has to be, and that's why
we had a shake in the stock market about 10 days ago that shook everyone to their core, And then the big boys came in and manipulated it again, took some profit, bought it low, sold it again. You think they're playing with the market, or what's going on here?
I think people are always playing with the market, Michael. But the interesting thing is that what happened is this suddenly started destabilizing when? As we're approaching the climactic time. There's a pattern. The general pattern of the Shemitah is that when it begins, it's kind of mild. But when you reach,
see,
if it's going to
matter. Jonathan, I believe that what you wrote is interesting, but I'm not into this prediction. I mean, I don't believe that the Bible predicted everything that's going to happen. I really don't.
These are not prophecies. This is the cycle and patterns. It's a little different. It's not saying that something has to happen, but it is saying that, you know, if you're getting a weather report.
Well, we are in a cycle where everything is coming to a head. Russia moves troops into Syria against Obama's protestations. They're putting the biggest nuclear submarine in the world moves into Syria. Something's going to happen over there. This is no joke. We got Russia moving. We got a flood of humanitarian refugee crisis like we've never seen since World War II. We got an economy that's about to blow out. Things are happening, aren't they?
Exactly. And if you look, Michael, you see the pattern is that you get this breakdown. You know, I said one of the meanings of this thing is collapse. And the thing is that you're watching a breakdown. You're watching convergences. And, you know,
I'll tell you what we'll do. Jonathan, give us the name of your book again, because we want the audience to know. Jonathan, please tell us the book.
Yeah, it's The Mystery of the Shemitah, and it's available everywhere.
Okay. Jonathan's going to come back for a very short segment. I don't even know if we'll have the time. We'll take one or two calls from the listeners. 855-407-282. Jonathan, I'll be right back, and everyone else.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Ladies and gentlemen, all the sound and fury signifying nothing. The Republican Party. The dictator has spoken. The will of the people be damned, the will of Congress be damned, common sense be damned, national security be damned. The Fuhrer has spoken. The thin man has spoken, and he got what he wants. All the sound and fury signifying nothing. And now the man in charge of everything, the man who runs it like an Ayatollah, wants to take in at least 10,000 Syrian refugees. Again, Congress be damned. He's running the country like a banana republic that he owns in the back of his pocket. How is that possible? How does he get away with it? Why is he not opposed? How does he own McConnell and Boehner? How is this even possible? How could our culture accept a dictator who has emerged in our time? You know and I know if a Republican was behaving this way, there'd be screams from the psychotics in the press for impeachment. You know and I know that the lunatics at the New York Times would be screaming day and night about an impeachment, and would have been for years now, if it was a Republican doing what this character is doing. If it was just politics as usual, we'd say, who cares? I would talk about other things. I would talk about fish oils right now. Or I would talk about anything, but anything you want. But this is such an important vote. The Iran deal. I love Iran deal. Senate Dems block GOP measure to kill Iran deal. I get so angry when I see the word deal. These lowlifes who couldn't run a hot dog stand think that they're big deal makers because they're dealing with your money. Deal, they call it. Deal, a big deal. We worked out a deal. A deal. These people who would take $1,200 under the table or 12 free pizzas for their office. If they get 12 free pizzas, they vote for the Iran deal. Most of these schnurrers. Deal, big deal makers. You put them in the private sector, they couldn't run a McDonald's properly. And I mean, it's very easy to understand how hard that is to do right. You know how hard it is to run a McDonald's franchise? I can guarantee you John Kerry could not run a McDonald's franchise. If this man was stripped of his loudmouth position, and he was told, you're no longer a government worker, you're going to have to run a McDonald's in Dearborn, Michigan, the business would be out of business in 2 weeks. He'd have to manage staff. He'd have to talk to the staff. He'd have to balance the books. He'd have to buy the supplies. He'd have to turn the electricity on. These people don't know very much about the real world, and they're the ones negotiating with these murderers from Iran. Look at Obama. Has he ever held a job in his life? Has Obama ever held a job in his life? Did he ever wash a dish like I did? Was he a dishwasher when he was 14 years old? Did he ever work as a busboy till 2 o'clock in the morning like I did to pay his bills? Did he ever work at an ice cream factory as I did? Did he ever have to face the wrath of affirmative action as I did because of his race? This man is a spoiled individual who gets away with virtual murder. And the reasons are quite apparent. We're going to go into hour number three, where we have additional speeches that are being conducted as we speak on the floor of this shameful thing called Congress. It's all sound and fury signifying nothing, because your president has outmaneuvered them. Now, you may say, that's a good thing. Is it a good thing? The will of the people be damned. The will of Congress be damned. Is that our system of government? That a dictator could emerge like this, where there are no longer checks and balances? How did this happen? I don't know how it happened. Who's to blame? I don't know who's to blame.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We know what the headlines are. Obama orders the U.S. to admit 10,000 Syrian refugees. This is after jamming the Iran deal down our throats, after numerous other insults to our way of government and our way of life. This relentless, psychotic community organizer now says take 10,000 Syrian refugees. He ordered his team to admit them, at least 10,000. Same time we're getting ready for the Pope to come here. People are saying, is he really Catholic? What does he represent? Russian troops already in Syria. That we know. Today, the Senate Democrats blocked the move to derail the Iran nuclear sellout. Europe's refugee crisis, unprecedented in modern history. Trump soars a new poll. Clinton's email woes. That you forgot that already. The email woes. They're called email woes. In other words, she's the poor victim. That's how AP... Yahoo News, Clinton's email woes. You hear this? It's poor woman. She's being picked on for getting rid of 30,000 emails, which may have had, let's say, security implications. Denmark closes border to German trains over migrant influx. Hey, good for the Danes. I didn't know they had it in them. They were so busy having marijuana and heroin and ecstasy and sex. How did the Danes get their brains together and suspend rail service to and from Germany to block the waves? How did they do that? It's amazing. The Danes can still do that? We can't? We can't block the trains? Let's see what else is in the news. The latest. Merkel says no legal limit to refugee numbers. What happened to her, I don't know. Merkel went insane. I don't know what they got on her. I'd like to see that card deck. Pope will find U.S. church struggling to hold on to Latinos. What? You're kidding me. I thought they were all Catholic. Isn't that part of the bill? Isn't that the bill of fare? Where'd this come from? Pope will find U.S. church struggling to hold on to Latinos. What, are they not going to church? You're kidding me. I had no idea. I thought everybody was a religious guy. I didn't know that. I thought they were all, they were Catholics. How do you like that? Catholic Church? Oh, evangelicals have set up shop here, too. Uh-huh. That's what's going on. I get that. Okay. Protestant preacher in the same. So a lot of them becoming Protestant. That's my problem. About 38% of adult Catholics in the U.S. are Latino. Latino. I don't like the word. That's a political word. The correct word is Hispanic. 38% of adult Catholics in the U.S. are Hispanic. These numbers are increasing at the same time a steady stream of America's Catholics overall leaving the faith. Wonder why Catholics are leaving the faith. Keep the faith, baby. Immigration and the high birth rate for Hispanic Catholics have more than made up for the losses, helping the 68 million member denomination continue to grow. Yet Hispanics aren't sticking with the church the way they once did. In 2006, about 8 in 10 Hispanics who were raised Catholic stayed in the tradition. Figure dropped to 7 in 10 last year. U.S. Hispanics are joining Pentecostal movements or abandoning organized religion entirely. This is an interesting story. I had no idea. This is a very interesting story unto itself. No sarcasm intended. So the Pope has a real job on his hand. He's got to do a good selling job, a real bill of goods here. Got a big selling job. I wonder if he's going to do it by talking about melting ice caps. That should really appeal to them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Mad Savage Nation, and we are very angry that we have no representation, not a government of the people, by the people, or for the people by any means, a government where the people can be fooled all of the time by Obama, the old Abe Lincoln canard. You can fool some of the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time, is sort of true. But Barack Obama is such a magician that he can override the will of the people, the will of Congress, and common sense itself, and throw in with the Iranian terrorists and give them everything they want and get nothing in return. And so who do we blame for this? Well, let's start with the press, the newspapers, the dying industry of the newspapers. Here this afternoon, for example, in the midst of all of this madness, Obama selling us out to the Iranians, getting nothing in return. Obama gives a speech this morning. Again, he always raises the stakes. You got to understand how communist community organizers work. They keep hitting you so hard one day after the other that before you could absorb what he did 3 months ago, he's on to the 90th thing. So after the Iran deal, now he tells everyone that we're going to take in at least 10,000 refugees from Syria without Congress's approval. So you turn to the press. You'd say there'd be some outrage about this, because if a Republican did this, they'd be screaming about a dictatorship. Here's what the Daily News has today. Inside the madness. No, they're not talking about what's between Obama's ears. Inside the madness. Never before seen photos from the packed Aurora movie theater where madman James Holmes killed 12 in bloody rampage. That's the headline. Next story is shocking images from inside the Aurora movie theater crime scene. Daily News. Next story is the freak. The circus freak, Caitlin, confronts Chris over Kylie graduation diss. This is in America now. Next, expert says NYPD cop who tackled James Blake followed protocol but should have apologized. This is what a tiny pill can do to you. Scottish teen left in coma and a wheelchair after taking ecstasy. MTA was useless in helping woman stalked by masturbating creep on subway. Tennessee woman wants book about cervical cancer banned because it's pornographic. Shall I read on? This is the Daily News. This is what the strap hangers read in New York City. The average subway rider. Pete Hamill, what has he got to say? Let's see. Is he still living? I think so. Yeah, he's still there. Pete Hamill. Death takes hold among the living after 9/11. Oh, that's a flashback. It's like some talk show hosts now are doing flashbacks every day. Instead of dealing with the news of the day, which is astonishing, they're talking about how great they were in the 1980s, playing sound bites of themselves in the 80s. I never heard anything like this. Let's see. Oh, there's Donald Trump on the news. Donald Trump rolls back insults of Carly Fiorina's looks. We insulted her a day early. Do we have that sound of him insulting her a day early? What did he say about her looks? 10,000 Syrians to... Oh, there it is on the bottom of the page. Sorry. 10,000 Syrians to U.S., question mark. America could accept flood of refugees over next year under President Obama's plan. His plan? What plan? To flood America with Muslims from Syria without vetting them for terrorism ties? That's his plan? Okay, these are some of the headlines on the Daily News. We open the show now to listeners in hour 3-855-47-282. U.S. may accept 10,000 Syrian refugees under President Obama's proposal. See how it starts out, proposal. He starts out soft, and then he jams it down everyone's throat by outmaneuvering the morons in Congress and telling the people you don't exist. By the way, the U.S. has already given about $4 billion, $4 billion to relief agencies to help stem the crisis in Europe. We've given them $4 billion. Now your president wants 10,000. We've already taken in 1,500 Syrian refugees. Many more Syrian refugees would help boost the U.S. response, said Josh Goebbels Ernest. Play Josh Goebbels Ernest today so they know what I'm talking about.
This year, that will end, the fiscal year that will end at the end of this month, the United States is on track to take in about 1,500 Syrian refugees. He would like them to accept, at least make preparations to accept at least 10,000 Syrian refugees in the next fiscal year.
See how cheerful he is, that nice Goebbels? Unbelievable. Germany, France, Hungary, Italy, and Sweden are taking in most of them. They'll regret it. They'll regret it. They don't care what the people think either. Every one of those countries had a referendum by people who said no more immigrants, no more immigrants, no more immigrants. And what do the leaders of these countries do? They ignore the people. They tell them to drop dead. Germany, where there's a strong center-right movement against the flood of immigrants who are destroying Germany. And I'm not making this up just for rhetoric. They are destroying the fabric of German history, their borders, their language, and their culture. Germany is being flooded by them. So what would you do with this problem? Oh, it's a big problem. More than 380,000 refugees and migrants have arrived in Europe by crossing the Med, and more than 258,000 of them landed in Greece. Greece, the weakling of Europe. If you even want to call it Europe, I don't know what part of the world it is, Asia Minor? Why Greece? How do they get to the island of Lesbos, no less? That's their landing point. That's kind of ironic, but let's not go there. They're aiming for the island of Lesbos. And from there, it's the golden road. They all want to go to Britain, where the morons who run Britain give them a handout the minute they get there. Okay, you want to talk about this, or it's too much already? I think I want to talk about it. Let's play some sound about this insanity that's going on with the death of the West right in front of our eyes. Boy, was Spengler right. Otto Spengler. I didn't know him personally, but I would have liked to have known him. Otto Spengler, I think it was in 1908, wrote a very important book called The Death of the West. And he predicted that the West would, Europe would disappear, being overtaken by Asia. Asians would swamp Europe. Okay. Economically, he was 100% right. That's already happened. But old Spengler didn't know that the rest of the story would include a Muslim invasion of Europe. Not with swords, not with guns, not with tanks, not with airplanes. No, with the Trojan horse of liberalism. So now let's listen to the head of the UKIP party in England on this insanity in clip one.
Thank you. Mr. Juncker, you've simply got this wrong. As I warned you in April, the Europeans' common asylum policy sets its terms so wide that to say that anyone that sets a foot on EU soil can stay, I said it would lead to a flow of biblical proportions, and indeed, that is what we're beginning to see. And that's been compounded by Germany last week, saying that basically anyone can come.
Now, that's an interesting side note. How did Angela Merkel, who was originally a center-right politician, become a stooge of the radical left is a real question. Now play clip two.
As I warned earlier, evidence that ISIS are now using this route to put their jihadists on European soil. We must be mad to take this risk with the cohesion of our societies. If we want to help genuine refugees, if we want to protect our societies, if we want to stop the criminal trafficking gangs from benefiting as they are, we must stop the boats coming as the Australians did, and then we can assess who qualifies for refugee status.
How come we don't hear anything like that here in America? Where is such a vigorous voice in the United States of America? Doesn't exist. Certainly not as articulate, unless you're listening to my show. But in Congress, they don't exist, do they? We don't have one articulate spokesman for our national interests. Instead, we have these crackpots, these losers, these anti-Americans, these haters of our way of life, like Louis Gutierrez. Every time you hear his voice, you need to reach for a towel to wipe the slime off your ears. Listen to clip five and get the towels ready.
You know, in the movies, when someone has to make a choice and a little devil and a little angel appear on their shoulder to give good and bad advice, well, that is what I feel America is going to feel like in a couple of weeks when His Holiness Pope Francisco comes to visit us, including an address in this very room. On one shoulder, we have a billionaire out there saying Mexicans are murderers, immigrants come to this country to get on welfare, our best days are behind us, and just getting tough and insulting
all right,
people
take,
will solve
okay,
all
take,
of our...
Take a towel break. Take a towel break. No one said all Mexicans are murderers. You know that. He said that some are, and many of them are getting in and shouldn't be here. And it is true that immigrants abuse the welfare system. That's well known, Gutierrez. You know it very well because you oversee this welfare state in your own district. And, of course, the Pope, as you well know, is now beloved by you because he's a communist. And that's why you love this Pope all of a sudden. If he was a real Pope who upheld real Catholic doctrine, you wouldn't love him so much, would you, Gutierrez? And now we have Cruz, who tried to stop the Iran deal to no effect whatsoever. But he tried. I commend them for that. And we have Hillary Clinton in a very interesting soundbite where she admires a man she called Hitler last year. Listen to clip 10. Here's Hillary Clinton on Putin.
I don't admire very much about Mr. Putin, but the idea you could stand up and say, I will be your next president, that does have a certain, you know, attraction to it. So, you know, I think we are not spending.
It is a certain, you know, attraction to it, meaning a dictatorship she likes now. Okay. We got Trump, but you've heard him so much, I'm not going to play it. Where's the him attacking Fiorina for looks? I don't even know what she looks like. Can you find that soundbite? They're all attacking him that for saying something about Fiorina's looks. Oh, he didn't say her looks are... what does she look like? I don't even know what she looks like. I know she was a terrible CEO of... I think she ran Hewlett-Packard. I'm not sure. I think she did a horrible job. That's all I know. I think she lost money and they fired her. I know, whatever. That to me is more important than what she may or may not look like. Let's see. Ben Carson on Trump. Trump attacks Ben Carson's faith. Why would Trump attack Ben Carson's faith? How is that possible? Let me hit clip 13. I didn't hear this one. I want to hear it.
All of a sudden, he becomes this great religious figure. I don't think he's a great religious figure. And I saw him yesterday quoting something, and he was quoting on humility, and it looked like he had just memorized it about 2 minutes before he made the quote. So, you know, go back and look at his views on abortion and see where he stands. You talk about abortion. I mean, go back and look at his views on abortion. Where now, all of a sudden, he gets on very low-key. I mean, frankly, he looks like he makes Bush look like the Energizer Bunny. Ben Carson, you look at his faith, and I think you're not going to find so much. And you look at his views on abortion, which were horrendous, and that's, I think, why I'm leading with all of the evangelicals. I'm, as you know in your poll, number one, I'm leading Ben Carson by a lot.
Mm-hmm. So now Trump and Carson are going at each other over faith. Okay, well, I don't see how that's going to play out other than Carson is going to lose. It's going to be Trump 1 or 10 and Carson 0. I'm sorry this happened because I thought Carson and he would have gotten along. I thought Carson would have made a good vice presidential running mate. Remember every time I asked Donald when he was on this show, would you consider a Ben Carson running mate, and what he said? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Savage Nation, we know what the headlines are. Obama orders the U.S. to admit 10,000 Syrian refugees. This is after jamming the Iran deal down our throats, after numerous other insults to our way of government and our way of life. This relentless, psychotic community organizer now says take 10,000 Syrian refugees. He ordered his team to admit them, at least 10,000. Same time we're getting ready for the Pope to come here. People are saying, is he really Catholic? What does he represent? Russian troops already in Syria. That we know. Today, the Senate Democrats blocked the move to derail the Iran nuclear sellout. Europe's refugee crisis, unprecedented in modern history. Trump soars a new poll. Clinton's email woes. That you forgot that already. The email woes. They're called email woes. In other words, she's the poor victim. That's how AP, Yahoo News, Clinton's email woes. You hear this? It's her. It's poor woman. She's being picked on for getting rid of 30,000 emails, which may have had, let's say, security implications. Denmark closes border to German trains over migrant influx. Hey, good for the Danes. I didn't know they had it in them. They were so busy having marijuana and heroin and ecstasy and sex. How did the Danes get their brains together and suspend rail service to and from Germany to block the waves? How did they do that? It's amazing. The Danes can still do that? We can't? We can't block the trains? Let's see what else is in the news. The latest. Merkel says no legal limit to refugee numbers. What happened to her, I don't know. Merkel went insane. I don't know what they got on her. I'd like to see that card deck. Pope will find U.S. church struggling to hold on to Latinos. What? You kidding me? I thought they were all Catholic. Isn't that part of the bill? Isn't that the bill of fare? Where'd this come from? Pope will find U.S. church struggling to hold on to Latinos. What, are they not going to church? You're kidding me. I had no idea. I thought everybody was a religious guy. I didn't know that. I thought they were all, they were Catholics. How do you like that? Catholic Church? Oh, evangelicals have set up shop here, too. Uh-huh. That's what's going on. I get that. Okay. Protestant preacher in the seminary. So a lot of them becoming Protestant. That's my problem. About 38% of adult Catholics in the U.S. are Latino. Latino. I don't like the word. That's a political word. The correct word is Hispanic. 38% of adult Catholics in the U.S. are Hispanic. These numbers are increasing at the same time a steady stream of America's Catholics overall leaving the faith. Wonder why Catholics are leaving the faith. Huh. Keep the faith, baby. Immigration and the high birth rate for Hispanic Catholics have more than made up for the losses, helping the 68 million member denomination continue to grow. Yet Hispanics aren't sticking with the church the way they once did. In 2006, about 8 in 10 Hispanics who were raised Catholic stayed in the tradition. Figure dropped to 7 in 10 last year. U.S. Hispanics are joining Pentecostal movements or abandoning organized religion entirely. I had no, this is an interesting story. I had no idea. This is a very interesting story unto itself. No sarcasm intended. So the Pope has a real job on his hand. He's got to do a good selling job, a real bill of goods here. Got a big selling job. I wonder if he's going to do it by talking about melting ice caps. That should really appeal to them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
So to every Democratic senator, they are facing a choice. Do you value the safety and security of the United States of America? Do you value standing with our friend and ally, the nation of Israel? Do you value the lives of millions of Americans? Or do you value more party loyalty to the Obama White House? Tell me, if you're a Democratic senator, how you look a mom in the eyes and say, I voted to lift sanctions on the man who murdered your son when he was defending this nation. But beyond that, when we talk about terrorism, it's worth remembering that if this deal goes through, we know to an absolute certainty people will die. Americans will die, Israelis will die, Europeans will die.
All right, good. Cruz is right. Unelectable, but correct. I stick by my... I saw him yesterday on the stage with Trump. Trump was presidential. He wore a suit and tie in the heat. And this guy, he did get rid of the jeans, the tight jeans. He decided he wasn't a country, a Western singer. Someone redressed him, and they dressed Cruz up. I don't know, with the white shirt, no jacket. He didn't look presidential to me. He looked like he was an aide that came up to bring Trump a card or a glass or a bottle of water. So I don't understand that one. Well, who's advising him? I don't know. And, you know, I got to say this about Cruz. I know he's a populist amongst the Tea Party people, and God bless the Tea Party people. Some of you like me, some of you don't. Some of you are part of the Rush cartel, which includes the Breitbart cartel, which includes most of Talk Radio cartel. And I realize I'm the odd man out. But you still listen to me secretly. I understand that. Many Tea Party people have listened to me before. They listened to them because I was around before they were. But I don't think Cruz is a very appealing candidate, frankly. I haven't from the beginning. It has nothing to do with sour grapes. I don't care whether he's on the show or not. It doesn't matter to me. Although I must tell you, I watch him and I don't think he can be elected. You're going to get mad at me if I say why? I've told you 1,000 times that presidential politics are to a great extent also about appearance, looks. His looks are not appealing. He has a certain kind of, I'm going to use a phrase that's not offensive, I hope. It's hard for me not to. He has a certain kind of weaselly look to him. And his voice is a little too harsh. Now compare him to Trump. Do you notice Trump almost never loses his composure or his temper? I could never be a candidate myself. I would have blown it from the starting gate. Because I lose my temper very easily. I have a very low boiling point and I blow it. That makes for good talk radio sometimes. Not all the time, by the way. That's the road to perdition if you do it on a regular basis. Because if you think that's radio, well, go back to 1994. That's been over a long time. Radio has to have a lot more than just righteous indignation. You know, wears thin after a while. But in politics, people don't happen to like short-tempered individuals. They want sort of a life with father, father knows best, sort of a strong, friendly, you know, leader. A Reagan-esque kind of, you know, imagery. Eisenhower comes to mind, if you remember him. I like Ike, Reagan, Ike, Reagan, you know, so who actually had that since then? I don't know. Clinton, why there was not, very often, Clinton couldn't be made to lose his temper either. He was smart. Cruz, I'm sorry, he blows it. So anyway, here we are. The news is sickening. It gets worse by the it gets worse by the day. I'm afraid to wake up in the morning and look at the headlines on the websites. Horrible. We knew this was going to happen. Then you got Frankenstein, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. How did she ever become the head of the DNC? How did they do this to themselves? How could they elect a mad dog like this to run the Democratic Party? And now they're fighting with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who wants no more debates in the Democrat side. They've had no debates. She wants no more. I think there's a limit of 6, and they'll be like long after you even remember her. No debates. So guys like O'Malley are saying this is not a dictatorship. And this monster, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the creature from the Black Lagoon, is running a Democrat Party with an iron boot. An iron boot. She won't let any debates. And there's a revolt brewing. And it should be because, look, the Republicans, as I say, whether you like them or not, at least they're willing to debate. How could you have a party with only one candidate? How can you have a party with a woman as tainted as Hillary Clinton? How in the world can you think that a woman as tainted as that would be presidential material? How? How? In a dictatorship, you can think anything you want. 855-400-7282. We have one open line. Let's take some calls. Let me start with Greg. KSFO online. Greg, what's your topic?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I don't understand how we can be supporting Iran and the Russians support Iran and Assad without us being on the same side as Russia. Is it all just for the money or arms? Or
You're raising the most germane question of all. Yesterday I reported the Russians have moved heavy weapons, Spetsnaz, the biggest submarine in the world into Syria, and the U.S. says don't do it. At the same time, we're working with Iran that supports Assad. You're asking a very important question. Which side is Obama really on?
Wouldn't that make us allies with Russia? And
yeah, that's right. It would if we knew who was really on which side. We don't know who Obama's playing for.
It would be insane.
Well, I tell you, maybe he is crazy. Maybe he is nuts. Maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's just following the edicts of special interests on each individual bill without thinking about the long-term strategy. But you're 1,000% right. Here he is. Obama wants to topple Assad. He's been out to topple Assad for at least 3 years on record. Now he's supporting Iran and Russia on a nuclear accord with Iran. How does that make sense? When Iran wants Assad to stay in power.
Grief.
Look, this is hard for the average person to pay attention to politics for this reason, because nobody can follow what this man is doing. We all know this. America's interests don't come first, they come last. KSFO James, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Yes, there was a priest in San Francisco who ordered me to stop opposing the communists. This was back in 1968. And I asked him, very calmly, I asked him why. And he said, because it's the Pope's job to save the church, and the only way he can do that is to join with them. I didn't think of it at the time, but I said, well, the Catholic Church says communism is Satanism. You want to join the church, join with the Satanists so you can save the church? But and one of the members...
That's a very interesting point. You're raising a germane point, because most people don't understand that this Pope, whether or not he wears, I don't know what he wears or reads, the man is espousing naked Marxism. Everything he says is out of the book Das Kapital by Karl Marx, in populist terms. So he is a communist through his rhetoric. The question is, how is this possible when the Catholic Church was opposed by communists during the Bolshevik Revolution? For example, they burned churches and killed priests, the communists did. And this church was long anti-communist. How did they suddenly join with the communists? Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, but this is not the church. It says right in the Bible that there will come a time when there will be a false church. And one of the members, for example, was telling me how she says, we're going to change the church.
So sorry, you're breaking up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but when people can't hear you, they'll turn my show off. We're getting a lot of callers right now, as we usually do at this time, as the show comes to an end and people realize that there's no Savage now for 21 hours after I leave. And they turn the radio off to either watch television or make dinner for their families, go about their daily business. They want to get on the show, so they're lining up. I don't know how to summarize today before we take a break and come back for the last round of today's battle with the realities of the world. I don't know how to summarize what's going on in the world right now, other than to say, are you perplexed? Are you perplexed? Because you're not alone. If you're really a person who has a reasoning mind, you have to be perplexed by what this monster is doing to America and the world. It makes no sense. Like this last caller said two callers ago, how could this man, this incredible creature in the White House, how could he be on the side of Iran and against Assad when Assad is supported by Iran, and Iran's troops are actually fighting anti-Assad rebels as we speak in Syria? Assad's troops will be joined by Russian troops and Iranian troops against all of the anti-Assad elements, which would include, which will include, some of our own troops fighting besides them, incidentally, and have been for a long time, surreptitiously, according to all sources I have read. Which side are we really on? Does anyone really know who's running this country? Is the country schizophrenic? Is the leadership totally berserk? That's why you're perplexed. That's why you're perplexed. It's that simple. Let's take a caller on any of these topics. KCMO Radio. Tom, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've been watching the speeches of Trump, and he's talking about Ford going to Mexico and Nabisco going to Mexico, and charging them 30% tax of bringing products into the country, which is a great idea. I believe in Trump. I believe in what he's doing, but I am worried that he's giving the motive and the special interest groups motive to assassinate him, you know, and I don't want to see that happen. You know, he's completely exposed in his speeches. There's people all over the place that's near him that can get him. I want him to live. I want him to be a leader country.
No, you're raising an issue I can't even address, because we're all worried about a man as honest as Donald Trump. All the rest are a pack of liars, and they're surrounded by agents and Secret Service on the Democrat side. No one could get near them. I'm very concerned about Donald Trump's bluntness. I'm concerned about his family's safety. I certainly am. And we have such enemies of the truth that everyone should be concerned for this man, even the haters. But, you know, the haters would cheer anything that happened to him. You know that, don't you, Tom?
Exactly. One of the things he brought up was one of the people who's going to handle his negotiation for Chinese Japan. He says the guy's name on the air. And he's basically, he might as well expose him too, you know. All they would have to do is...
Oh, you're talking about one of the great operators on Wall Street. The guy is incredible. He could out-negotiate China for sure. Absolutely.
That guy's name on the radio, and it says who he's going to use.
He lives in a free country, doesn't he, Tom?
No,
so he's willing to stand up for a free country, as are all of us in radio. I would call them my colleagues, but they're not my colleagues, but... Everyone in talk radio, frankly, takes the same risk on a lesser to a lesser extent. But we're all putting ourselves out there, Tom. It's only when millions of us start to do it that we have a chance of succeeding. Tom, stay on the line. Give us your name. I'm giving you away a free copy of Government Zero, which will be in the warehouses very soon. My last and most important of all political books. It's, I think, going to be a collector's item for my fans, for sure. And a general audience will find me for the first time for one reason. The title is so compelling. They can walk into a bookstore. It's going to be everywhere because its first printing is 150,000 copies. Mark that down in San Francisco. 150,000. 150,000. Now compare that to the average book published, written by a liberal. They print probably 3,000 or 4,000 copies. A novel, maybe 300. A San Francisco author, maybe they print 30 copies to give away in coffee shops in the Mission District. So Michael Savage, they're going to print 150,000 copies. It's going to be in every store in the country late October. It's my magnus opus called Government Zero. I'm not going to tell you what's in it, but I'm starting to give them away today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. From here on the California, where I live. A nightmare. A nightmare. Nightmare. 100 degrees here, 107 degrees there. It's not global warming. People don't even understand the history of weather here. I remember I was reading a few years ago that in like 1885 or 1887, it got so hot in the Central Valley of California that cornfields caught fire. Now, so far as I remember, that was before the Model T Ford was on the road. But don't tell that to Jerry Brown. It's an inconvenient truth. Don't certainly tell it to the community organizer in the White House, the Fuhrer. It's an inconvenient truth. But nevertheless, we have a heat wave that's beyond, I hate it. I've lived here since 74 in the San Francisco area. I've had hot spells. This is a nightmare. San Francisco's nice right now, 69 degrees. But inland, you can die from it. A nightmare. 97 in Petaluma. 106 degrees in some areas. 105 up in Santa Rosa, 100. It's inhuman temperatures. Inhuman. Not global warming. It's just weird. Thank God we got the marine layer coming back in. We're going to be relieved from this soon. I can't wait for the weekend. Some fog comes in. I almost pray. It's enough to make me into a pagan. The god of fog. When the god of fog comes in, I actually get down and light a candle to him. I don't. I'm thinking of it. Maybe I should start a religion. The fog church. The first church of fog. And we could pray for fog when it gets hot next time. That would be fun, a Burning Man. We could, instead of the, what do you mean the Burning Man? Who would go to a thing like that in a heat wave like this? I'm going to go to the Fog Man concert. That's the one I want. I want to lead the Fog Man concert. Santa Cruz, a once great place, what they did to it, the liberals. You can't even go there. You can't even go to Santa Cruz. You take your life in your hand. Gilroy, the garlic capital, 106 degrees. Garlic likes heat. Garlic likes heat. Grapes like heat. I am not a grape, nor am I made of garlic. I'm a human being. I hate heat. I know people like heat. I don't understand why they like it. Women generally like heat. Do men like heat? Most women like heat for some reason. They're always cold. It's like, brr, and they like warm weather. Men, I don't know. Do men like heat? Maybe some do. It works well in Arabia. They seem to do very well with it. 69 degrees in San Francisco. Going down, no less. I love you can go in there with a coat tonight. I'm not going to talk anymore about the politics. I'm burned out. It's enough already. It's enough already. I can't take it. There is no Congress anymore. Remember we used to play the song, There's No England Anymore? I'm writing a new song called There's No Congress Anymore. I don't know what tune I'm going to write it to, but I'll figure it out. Spare the air status in the Bay Area. So the lunatic neighbors of mine who burn fires even in the heat aren't allowed to do that tonight. All the liberals. I love it. How is that possible that liberals who are for everything for the environment burn fires 300 nights a year? How is that even possible? How can a person who calls themselves a liberal pollute their neighborhood? How do they have the brains for this? They're giving themselves and their children cancer. The neighbors don't exist for them. Yeah, there's no Congress anymore. Right, I get it. That's a great song by the Kinks. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, you're sick in the head. Come back for more tomorrow. It's the Savage Nation.